check. Shut the fuck up.
You shut the fuck up.
Who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you? That's the question. The question at hand. Oh man, fuck this. You know, I lost my place a long time ago. About 50 fucking rhymes ago. I'm wrecking again. I'm seriously considering checking myself in. Locked inside this key chamber. There's millions of keys inside. But only one can stop my anger. And I'm not fading away. So I just have to die. Unlocking the doors in my mind.
Yeah, let's finish up that clip that we left off with.
Decided to start filming. Now, isn't this something? She notices the white male intently noticing the black male. And she says, well, this looks strange. So I'm just going to start recording right now. And this is what she recorded. Bro, I was mad when I saw the video because I've never been treated like that before. It made me cautious, irritable, and anxious. But I'm better today, Shaladin said. The man accused Shanla of stealing the speakers. Shanla responded, Publix doesn't even sell these. Next, he ordered Shanla off his car, to which the recent Georgia State graduate said, you can see that it's my car. Okay? A representative of Publix said they would respond to Indisputable's request, but would not provide an email to send the video. Now, here's what we offered Publix. We said, hey, you know, send us an email, you know, let us know where to send a video to. We're going to send you the video so you will at least be able to know exactly what happened in case you do not. This is the second story from Douglas County. Indisputable received this week. Douglas County Sheriff Media Specialist TJ Jaglinski said, after reviewing the video, no crime was committed, and no one has filed a report with us about this situation. Put up the sheriff, right? So he's the sheriff of the county. This is Tim Pounds. Now, remember, the sheriff is the constitutional officer. He's a constitutional authority. He is the chief law enforcement person for the entire county. A Georgia police officer familiar with this matter commented, the man likely did, in fact, commit a crime of simple assault under Georgia law. An attorney connected with Chandler Dean said, and I quote, if he showed the weapon, it could be considered aggravated assault. That's what an attorney said. Here's the Georgia statute on simple assault. Simple assault reads like this. A person commits the offense of simple assault when he or she either A, attempts to commit a violent injury to the person or another, commits an act, places another in reasonable apprehension. Reasonable apprehension of immediately receiving a violent injury. That is the Georgia statute. And yes, it does fit based on what we saw. All right, Ben, thoughts here?
Yeah, I mean, like, this is one of those things where, like, this is a teachable moment, right? Because if we look at how old this guy is, we need to understand something. We got to put in context. Sundown towns in the United States of America reach their peak after the first Star Wars movie came out, okay? So if you like put in your mind that like timeline, if you ever had like, you know, your grandparents or your parents tell you like, oh, I remember like the first Star Wars movie coming out and seeing it in theaters, like they were alive when Sundown Towns reached their peaks. It was the 60s and 70s when the United States was out literally paving over public pools because, you know, because of the Civil Rights Act and all this stuff said, hey, you can't segregate public schools or public pools anymore. So they literally paved over these public pools. These people were alive then. Like these people were like, I mean, especially this guy, he was probably in his like teens or 20s when that was happening, right? And so if we put this math together, we recognize that none of this is ancient history. There are a lot of people that are alive walking around today where their formative years, the assumptions they built around the world, what they think is appropriate, inappropriate, right? Their suspicions about other people is deeply rooted in this very obvious white supremacy that the United States has had literally since its birth. And so like, I know a lot of people people like to say, oh, this was so long ago and all this stuff, but it has a material impact on people's behavior today. If this person did not grow up, right, if this old man with the gun did not grow up in a country with this much white supremacy at the time that he did, would he be running around like, you know, just like literally like staring down like random black folks in a parking lot and like threatening them with guns? Of course not, right? It would be a very different world, right? And so like this is just something that we need to understand, that like the sort of next door crowd that's like spying on their neighbors and like constantly suspicious about everybody, right? Like a lot of the people in the baby boomer generation, they grew up in a generation where this kind of stuff was like very, very normalized and very much like mainstream. Today, it's still present, but it's got a little bit more pretense. It's got a little bit more of a mask on it. But like these people are very much still around. And I think this guy maybe perhaps might have been one of those people.
Yeah, we don't have any additional information on who the person is. I think at this point, he will likely be identified. But as far as law enforcement coming out initially and saying there's no there, there are members of law enforcement who have told us, not so fast. Georgia law has this statute and there is some there. One officer actually told us if he saw this in his jurisdiction, the person would have been arrested for at least simple assault.
You know, oh boy. So much here. Yeah, we are back, second hour of Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. This kind of makes me think. If it were legal for white men to walk around with whips, to intimidate people, how many would do it? Apprehension for bodily harm. This man carried, he had his gun, he put his gun in his waist belt for intimidation. To gain power over. To instigate a problem, an issue. Now, it's not like this guy didn't know that he was doing something wrong. Because once the camera got put on him, he backed off. He was mentally aware that he was doing something wrong. But yet, engaged in the behavior anyways. I want to know the psychology behind this. Let's get to the phone lines. Let's go with David in California, line 3.
Yeah, hello. Thanks a lot for taking the call.
No problem.
What would you do if you found a $50 bill or $100? Because then I'm going to say what I usually do when I find it. I'm just asking what you would do when you find a $50 bill in a store.
Actually, as a matter of fact, I actually have. I remember one time I was I was around 4 or 5 years old. At the mall with my mom and my sister. We were doing Christmas shopping. I found $50 on the floor. I said, hey, Mom, look what I found. My own mother went through her purse and her wallet to see if any of her money was missing.
That's what I usually do. That's the first thing I do. If I don't even carry a wallet, I have loose, folded dollars, and sometimes I do that. Go on.
Well, and so she wanted to make sure that it didn't come from her, because she had money.
Gotcha.
We're doing That's Christmas talking. Too, yeah. So at that point, she said, well, this is your money then. You found it. It's yours.
Okay.
Stupid me. I let my sister talk me into buying her some jeans she only wore once.
Oh, God.
I could have had a bunch of toys with that.
She said, you owe me $50, girl, or whatever you paid for. Yeah. So anyways, what I usually do is, like, if I find money, I go to the store. I don't tell them what I found. Because they'll go, yeah, that, you know, some people could say, you know, anybody lose any money, I ask them, I give them my name and number, and I keep it. I keep it. But because I'm going, I don't want to give it to the store. Then they keep it. When someone, I know someone lost it. When, so, mm-hmm. First, I find if I lost it, because sometimes I drop money out, it's mine. And then I just do it to the, you know, the store. I don't say how much it was. I said, if anybody calls up losing money, I give my number or something like that if they want to take it. But I'm not saying I agree what happened to her was right at all. I'm just saying that's just some information that might be helpful. What else? It'd be terrible just walking around. Yeah, there is a lot of, and I also think part of the Democratic policy, and it's not just one side that has racist or anything in it, but that whole thing of keeping particularly blacks and Hispanics and poor whites in neighborhoods in the welfare system, at least since the 60s, really was a deterrent overall on the community. Because if you study the economics of the black family, even in the 40s and before that, with Black Wall Street. Of course, that's when the real white races came and burnt the city down in Tulsa. But I heard it. I didn't do the study yet, but I heard there's a lot more cities like that. Maybe not to the level of Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1920, which had, you know, was very prosperous. So I'm saying part of the blame, and then you have the mother, the father out of the family. Somewhere, I don't know if it started in the 60s or 70s, but mm-hmm. We can't have that. We give you this money. And then of course, the rap culture and the MTV and other, I'm sure other culture, rock culture, country culture, whatever, in the music business. But particularly, I think the rap was, they had the three strikes, you're out, at least in California. I don't know about other states. So it's like, yes, we want to... where I went too far, fast ahead emotionally, so I lost my thought. It's basically so when you have a poor neighborhood and there's not as much opportunity, yeah, statistically there is a lot of black stealing and this and that. So people get suspicious. So I think there's a mixture of racism, but there's people that aren't even racist that are going, that might have, like, for instance, if I seen someone find a $50 bill there, I might say similar thing, but I would handle it different because I don't want to, like, I say, wait, can't we just put it in your name, ma'am? Or how about this? If someone calls up for the $50 bill, because she may need it, she may be broke then, something like this, can we get your number? And if this person call, you know, then they could say you're jiving. Someone else calls, one of their friends. But I can understand the apprehension there. You know, like, yeah, sure, I wasn't born yesterday, but or something like that. I don't know, but it's a sad all the way around. And I think a lot of prayer and help on this situation, so more things would be more healed. Like, I think, like, for instance, not even in a racial matter, like, just say in general, when we're talking about conspiracy and we think they're going to do this, they're going to do that, I think in RBN and Alex Jones show and different shows that are liberty shows, the people individually listening even now can pray on this situation right now. And that despite what you, I don't want you to believe on that, but that has much power to help Assad, you know, to help, to help heal this situation. And all
whose prayer? Whose prayer?
Everybody that is listening now. Let's say if we're talking about any
situation.
That's
going to cure racism.
Yeah, meaning any subject. It could be about the WHO with the vaccinations. The prayers can help, and action too. We need action on the ground too. We don't just need, but it can help push back a lot of this nonsense.
I'm just going to have to be real here, and say, okay, you know, that's one of those divisive splits. You know, that's not going to lead us to what we as a society need to do, what we need to work on. We need to work, we need to have, first of all, self-reflection. Yeah. We need to put ourselves in other people's shoes, and we need to be trying to do our best to be better people. Once again,
I agree.
There's so many people out there that think they're superior.
I agree.
But they can't prove it. Right. So they have to spend their time tearing everybody else down.
Yes.
I think that it's fine to think that you're superior. White supremacy, black supremacy, I think that should come in the form of doing your best, doing good,
doing
your best to help society. Right. It shouldn't be tearing people down.
Right.
If you're better than me, hey, go make that money, get that status, go do your thing. I'm not going to hate. But there are people that hate because, you know, oh, somebody's got a pair of speakers or whatever. They shouldn't have that. I don't want them to have that. I don't have that. I don't want them to have that. That kind of mentality. It's the mentality that needs to be tackled. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I cut you off. I'm sorry. I got a new black friend that's like, he's miles ahead of me as far as, you know, he's camping now, but in a beautiful, like, $110,000 Tesla. And he's just, we're out in the snow. I mean, I'm about 10 miles away from where he's camping now, but he's fine. When I call him, because the way he was brought up, the way he is, he's just like, he's chilling. I go, well, you're going to be all right? Because I said he could drive like 50, 40, even 30 miles away and be out of the snow. Why did I bring that up? I don't know. He just, I forgot. I'm just losing thought. But I just know, yeah, it takes, yes, we have to be more moral as a society. And part of that whole thing of just do anything you want. I don't agree with it. If you can steal $150 worth of food or products or something, all this nonsense. I think there's a law and order. Like there was a film called Seattle Dying from a documentary. I don't know if it started 2 years ago or whatever. Finished then. And they came with a solution. Some women in Pennsylvania started some homeless program where they came up, you need enforcement. In other words, you can't have $950 you can steal and just go out of the store. Nonsense like that. I don't care what color anybody is. It's nonsense. But you also need intervention. Some kind of sensible intervention, and I didn't get more details on that. I was going to call that organization in Pennsylvania someday and find out more about it. But and also, this is a possibility. I'm not saying it is. I don't like the reaction how it went down. But even the woman, or was it a woman or a man that called this a black woman out in the store, the $50.
I believe there's a woman and a male and another woman.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, the immediate thing is from where my morality is, wait a second, that could be someone else's money. I might have said that. Well, I already went through that. I would have probably handled it different, though. But I would have said, you know, what if the guy or person calls in? You know, I think there's too much force and too much people. And yeah, and you know more than most people. I'm sure there's racism out there. But I basically, my opinion of me, it doesn't mean there's not somewhere in my body, somewhere in my mind. I believe since I was a kid, I was systemically non-racist since I was a kid because I was brought up like that. And I just seen it in movies and stuff like that where I got it when I was really young, you know, not to hurt other people's feelings and all that. So I think I spent enough time. And by the way, before I go, your show is awesome, man. And I think you should tell your story about what happens. And I don't think you're trying at all to try the racist card, but I think we need to see that, you know, I think people can be feeling for people that have been hurt, you know, like I know this, minister that said he went over to Gambia, I think it was one of the African countries, I forgot which one it was, as a ministry. And he says, now I can see how I feel when him and his team were white, and I don't know how many, I think he said there were 30 of them, but everybody else was black. You know, he didn't feel scared because he was surrounded by other Christians that were black and other things, but he put the shoes on kind of here because it's only 13%, right, or 6% males in the United States. anyways, I went on and off. So I love your show. And
thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, a lot, you know. So have a good one, and I hope you stay on. And thanks a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to be doing this fight until, you know, we as Americans can put aside our differences and, you know, carry us to the next stage of evolution.
I mean, my best friend, my best friend is white, a female. We used to go together. We're friends now, and that's probably we'll remain friends if we're friends instead of going together, I think. But she met my new black friend, and he's just like, she just, the reason why I brought her up before I'm going is because she lived in Washington, D.C. for a while, or near there, 20 miles or something, and she was experiencing some of the BLM leak over, like when you go to the bank, there was an attitude coming at her from black women and different people, not everyone, because she knew the people that knew souls. You know, here's another thing. If you're spiritually pure as a black man, and let's say I'm a spiritual person, but my purity isn't at your level, what color is inside? I mean, you may be lighter than I am. You know what I mean? That's interesting. But okay,
well,
I'll leave on that.
I was actually called an Oreo a lot by people.
I
experienced racism from within my own race. Being called Oreo.
I know one guy
white inside.
He lived in the hood or more like in the black neighborhood, and then he said he was called Whitey there or something, or Oreo or whatever. And then when he came up here, I don't want to use the N word, but you know what I'm saying. He said that, and I tried to call him tonight. I misplaced his number. I have it on paper, but not on the phone. So I think I'm taking too much time. And thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, I do. I get to other callers. Thank you for your input. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Let's go with my main man over 9,000 in Florida, line 5.
Hey, just about everything you've talked about tonight has happened to me. I had a cop approach me 36 years ago in a McDonald's by mistake.
Wait, hold on a second. Now, I've been called an Oreo. Is there a name for something that's chocolate and covered in white? Is there an opposite Oreo?
No. I'm not talking about that incident. I'm talking about you're talking about you had the young boy who got the $100,000 settlement. I wish I would have got $100,000. I got the crap beat out of me and a year's probation for hitting a cop. But that was 36 years ago, and I'm still a convicted felon. And I've been approached in a grocery store, and they thought I was stealing, too. I've had that happen to me. My ex-wife wanted to sue the grocery store. And I've been pulled over so many times by the cop. I'm a musician, and I'd play at night, and I'd come home late, and it was the cars I was driving. I finally asked a state trooper, why do I keep getting pulled over and searched? I wouldn't let the last state trooper search me. I go, I'm tired of this. He said, man, look at your car. I finally got a better car. I mean, they profile everyone. And I tell you, something happened a few months ago that I didn't tell you about.
You're absolutely right about that.
I was at a Walmart. It's a Walmart here in town, and I noticed, and you're exactly right. Some of the older people, I think it's in them a lot to, you know, old school. Anyways, I was standing there as you check out and you hold a receipt. You got to show the lady a receipt. It was an old lady. And the first time it happened, it was an older man, and there was a big black guy, and he had a whole bunch of stuff. He bought Christmas. He had $1,000 worth of stuff in the cart. Now, this long receipt. And this guy was going through everything in his cart, everything. He didn't look at none of my stuff. I mean, just go. And it was clearly see, I told my girlfriend, I go, man, he's profiling people. He's profiling people. And, you know, and I'm not into BML. I'm not BLM or any of that crap, Antifa or George Soros or any of that crap. It was just the human thing to do to walk over there. I told the guy, I go, this is bull crap. And he was, like, laughing. And I said, man, if I were you, I'd take all this stuff back, and I'd call their corporate office and tell them. I go, I'll be a witness for you. This is wrong. It's just a human thing to do to go over there and point it out. And the guy who was looking through his stuff ignored me. And then I noticed it again. There was an older lady in there one day, and she was just, she let me go and let everybody else go. But then she seen an Oriental woman, an old Oriental woman, and she just pointed her right out. And the poor old woman, She looked like she'd steal from anybody, you know. I mean, you can't tell who, but she's going through all her stuff, you know. And I said, why don't you go through my stuff? You don't go through my stuff. You're just profiling people like the other guy was. That's wrong. That's wrong. And it does happen. But I noticed these people were older, too. The people that they get to look at the receipts, they usually hire people who are retired.
Yes.
At Walmart.
Yes.
To do that sort of thing. And I think, I think a lot of the younger people, I think it's kind of phased out. Older people are more able to do that sort of thing. But then again, you know, I mean, it's good that you bring this up, that you kept this whole month of this. This is good stuff because you're laying it out and you're hearing it from a white person. From me, like I said, maybe it's just where I'm from, but I've experienced some of the same stuff just by the way I look, by the car I drive. I mean, you're profiled. Everyone looks at you. Everyone judges with their eyes, you know? So,
you know, one of my favorite phrases from Bill Burr, one of my favorite comedians, he does a few jokes and he sets it up by saying, looking how you do.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, what do you think is about your look that
I
that
don't
gets
know.
The profiling?
Chicks like me. I mean, I've always had girlfriends. My girlfriend thinks, you know, I don't know. I think all men are ugly, but I've done all right with the women. But one time I was working out of town. This was, I was in my 20s. But since I hit that cop, it was on record that I hit a cop in my neighborhood. So someone robbed a USAVE store and shot the manager, killed the guy, and they had this picture in the paper. And I come back, people go, you look like the guy. Well, what they did was the cops went to my mom's house while I was staying there. I think I was 19. I'd moved out and moved back in. And they surrounded her house, and they called me. They got a hold of me in Jacksonville. I was working on a roofing crew. I did roofing. And to verify that I was out of town, and they were going to shoot. I had a pet raccoon that ran around my yard, and they were going to shoot the raccoon. And that was just crazy. I mean, I've been targeted. I mean, you know, for stupid, that's the guy. A cop see me going down the road, that's the guy. I'd always drive beat-up cars, you know, a $200 car. You know, I'd find a junky car, fix it up, drive it just to get around beater. I still got a beater out here. It's better than the other ones. I'm not getting pulled over like I used to, but you do get profiled, man. I mean, it happens to everybody, all the way across the board. And there are some good cops. I mean, you can't just say they're all bad. I've met some good ones, and believe me, I've had a lot of trouble with cops. But I've met some that are pretty decent, you know. Black cops too. We had black cops in the neighborhood.
Well, I mean,
that were okay.
But my thing is, what I'm trying to get at is the hidden programming. What is going to make that good cop that's had a good record one day snap and just thinks he's supposed to victimize someone black? Where's the line? What are the triggers? Where does the programming come from? That's what I'm getting at here.
I think if you've got a pimped out car with big rims on it, big tires, you go down a road and you smell like weed, well, you know, yeah, they're going to pull you over if you stick it out there, because sometimes I have to, you know, I used to kind of hide when I drove my beat up car. Don't look too much like a meth head. They'll pull you over. You know, they sit in Walmart at nighttime when they used to be open 24 hours and not anymore. And because I work nights with a friend of mine, we walk in there. These guys are looking at us, and I go, no, we're not meth heads. They go, how do you know we were? They were counting the meth heads that come in there. They can tell they profile people by they look a little skinny, they're scratching. Yeah, and you see the meth heads come out late at night, you know, and you can spot them a mile away. But back when
I do a lot of people watching. I used to when I was in the States.
So do I.
Is something that I did with Walmart all the time, was count the meth heads.
Coming in there. Yeah. You can see, you know. But, you know, as far as the money thing, I had some fake money a while back. I got it at this place called the Bargain Bin. It's like these people buy pallets and stuff. Anyway, and I thought it'd be a really good observation to just, if they had some $100 bills stacked, it looked so real. They had the line going through them and everything, but the very small print, it said, not for, you know, for entertainment use only. I was just curiously just going to drop some in the store to see what people did. Me personally, if I find a $100 bill, I'm picking it up. You know, I'm not going to ask anybody. Naturally, they're going to say, yeah, that's mine. Well, I'm not being dishonest. Hey, losers, Now, if I see somebody drop it, and I've done that before. I've seen a lady drop a lot of money in a Home Depot one time. And I said, ma'am, you dropped this. And she was very grace, very nice, tried to offer me. I said, no, ma'am, I'd do that for anybody. That's what we all should do. But if you find money on the ground, I mean, you know, finders are losers. Losers, weepers, you know? I mean, it's money, you know? So
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, between you and the last caller, I mean, I definitely agree. When I found that money, and when I was a kid, when I said that story, I was literally in the middle of the mall. There wasn't any particular store to go to ask anybody anything.
Right.
And typically in situations like that, a person that would lose it, they're just going to assume it's lost. Does anybody report to the mall and say, hey, I dropped $50. If you happen to find $50, get it to me. And this person take that call, wouldn't just laugh. Like, yeah, sure.
I tell you something that happened to me when I got with my second wife. She told her kids, if you see someone drop something in the mall, well, pick it up. Well, her daughter told me that on the way to the mall. I said, that's wrong. No, you see them drop it, you give it back to them. We went to that mall, the same mall, and I taught them a lesson. I had a shirt full of, a bag full of shirts that I bought, and I left them in the food court, and this nice little Mexican guy couldn't even speak English. And I go, shoot, I lost my bag. Where's my bag? And I did. And he held it up. Is this belong to anybody? I go, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's karma. That guy came in.
Yeah.
That guy there, out of nowhere, found my shirts, and he was trying to find out, you know, whose they were. You know, that was a good thing there. But money is a different story. You know, money is, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't think anybody's going, oh, that's my bag, you know. But when it comes to cash, well, everyone's going to say, hey, yeah, that's mine. Yeah, I want it, you know.
Well, there's so many scam artists.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time. And you don't want to be connected with somebody scamming. And you always feel bad whenever you do get scammed.
I believe the guy seen me set the bag there, too. He did see me, and he was looking for me. Where'd the guy go? Yeah, he seen me, too. That's a different scenario, you know, but...
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought I'd tell you about my stories about being in a store. I had an overcoat on. I just went through a really bad back surgery, and these three guys stocking the store grabbed me, and well, I know you got stuff. What you got? I ain't got anything. And my wife got upset, and I said, look, they're just doing their job. Let it go. Well, we got to sue them. Nah, I'm not, you know. That's like when the cop hit me, I guess I could have sued them because he'd come up and just grab me. And just out of reflexes, I hit him. That's why they dropped it. Sort of gave me a light sentence. But I probably could have sued him. I went to Eternal Affairs, but back then they didn't do anything. So that kid came out good. He got $100,000. You know, I mean,
Yeah. Hey,
I didn't get anything but a year's probation, and I still can't get a gun without getting it expunged. And I don't even want to mess with the FBI or anything. I just let it be, you know. It'll be just, you know, hand to hand, I guess. Or
it's just affected your entire future. I mean,
right. I won't even try to get it expunged. Right. Right.
I'm very angry about that. 36
years ago.
Oh man.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you go, V. You could probably get other callers.
Yes.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you very much for your call. Love hearing from you. And very quickly before we get to the next call, the whole idea of it, and I wish somebody could explain to me. I know it was probably Frank, and we talked. I know Frank and I talked about this from New York a while back. How like. You know, you would, as a white person, you would rather let another white person steal $10,000 from you rather than let a black man steal $1,000 from you. I mean, I've done my best to help a lot of people. I'm very generous. People don't even know the story as to why Rob Joyce, why he's no longer on the show. You know, being a truther and speaking truth is one thing, but I think, and it put me in a bad place for a little while. And I was just thinking, I'm guilty, just like a lot of you people out there. I'm not going to say I'm shiny and innocent. I mean, it put me in a bad spot for a little while. You know, Rob Deutsch, he did the exact Jewish thing that I had been warned about. Several people told me, he's just going to scam me. He's going to scam you. You know, he's Jewish. He's going to scam you. But I put my best foot forward in the situation. I tried to make a business deal with him because he was struggling with his jewelry making, quote unquote. I don't even know if that's real. But I was going to give him a certain amount of money for half of his business. That was to put him up on his feet and to further push business on down the line. I was going to become co-owners of his business. You know, I put so much money down, and he disappears. And with the sorriest excuse as to why, trying to blame me for something, and dare to say I still owed him more money. He literally, insult to injury, said I owed him more money. No, none of that money was towards the business. You were helping me to stay on my feet. It was money towards the business. We had a deal. You owe me more money because you said you were going to pay such and such amount of money that, you know, RBN listeners would pay for donating. You said you would pay on top of that. I said, I've already paid you even more than that already before we even started. He literally tried to, I was about to say a J word. He was really trying to scam me out of any money that he could. Being a good person, you know, helping expose the truth, but he really succumbed to his nature. Now, again, I don't want to come off as racist or doing reverse racism or anything like that, but I find that it's weird that the Zionists, who are in control of a lot of stuff, I'm not going to say they control everything, they're in control of a lot of stuff. There's a lot of scam type of stuff that's been put into the way governments work, and the way banks work. But you let them steal, and from you, you let them steal from your children, you let them take away your whole legacy. But if a person picks up $50 off the ground, you want to come inward and beat them to the ground. There's a lot of hypocrisy that comes with the racism. I'm going to tell you. Why would you rather a white man steal $10,000 from you instead of a black man steal $1,000 from you? Why? Because you don't want to see that black person come up? Any at all? You'd rather keep the rich people rich? They got their boots on your neck? You don't want to see anybody else try to come up and maybe kind of equal things out a bit? That's the kind of stuff I don't get. But let's get Frank on the line. Frank, New York. Oh, no. Did we lose him? Frank. Okay. Well, sorry. I probably kept him on this whole way too long here. Well, instead, we got another clip here. Let's go ahead and play that.
Imagine this. You are a store owner. You own a company. You call the police because of a robbery, right? You call the cops. Cops get there. You're a black man, and they decide to punch you in the face, arrest you, take you to jail, and make up a fake charge against you. Well, that's exactly what happened. Here's the video.
You This is Mr. Kevin Pence. Kevin Pence owns that liquor store. Mr. Pence has already called the police. Police finally arrive. And when they get there, Mr. Kevin Pence, he has a gun and he's basically making sure the gun is safe. He's a store owner with the right to bear arms. He's explaining to the police, I'm the owner of the store. I called you. The police are talking except for that guy who decides to run in and punch the black man without understanding any context. The rest of the officers, instead of getting the cop off of him, saying, hey, this is the owner, they decide to go ahead and just roll along with it. That actually happened a couple of years ago. This is now resurfacing because Kevin is suing them, and he should be. So let's talk about this lawsuit and let's talk about the genesis of it. It took the public release of the surveillance video. The suit says to cause the city to even pretend to investigate the matter. Initially, when he complained about this, they did not investigate according to his narrative, and he was arrested. They took him to jail. They put him in handcuffs. They knew he was the owner. They took him to jail. Here's a steal of the officer who punched him in the face. That's Officer Justin Rippin. Justin Rippin punched Mr. Kevin Penn, the owner of Star Spirits and Beverages in Alabama. Yep, this happened in Alabama, okay? When the officers arrived, Penn explained he was the store owner, but he was still racially profiled. Rippin broke his jaw. Lawyers for Mr. Penn filed the suit on March 11th in U.S. District Court against Officer Rippin and the city of Decatur, Alabama, alleging the incident was indicative of others involving officers using excessive force. Kevin Penn, 47 years of age, was armed to defend himself from the robber, was unloading his gun to make sure it was safe for everybody, and explained to the police what he was doing and that he was, in fact, the owner. He explained it. He told him. Okay? And if you remember from the video just now, the other officers were listening, except the one, except that one cop. That one cop comes flying in like he's Mighty Mouse and punches a guy in the face who did not deserve any of it. Why is it, in addition to the cop who did this ridiculous thing, why is it that the other cops did not intervene and say, hey, we were talking to him, he's not the suspect here? It didn't even change after all of them, including the guy who punched Mr. Kevin in the face. It did not stop them from still arresting the store owner. The suit also contends Penn's constitutional rights were violated. He was a victim of excessive force, false arrest, etc. All right. So I'll give you some background to this so you understand how it happened. The incident was already 3 months old when it became public, after a surveillance video clip was released on social media, according to the suit. This happened back March 15th, 2020. Mr. Penn called the police after he detained a shoplifter and held him at gunpoint in his store. According to the suit, Penn removed the clip from the gun and put it on the counter when officers arrived. Actions that were confirmed by video. The officers, including Officer Rippin, knew Penn was the store owner. When the officer shouted about the gun, he said he had put it down, then told him that he would file a complaint. It was then, the suit contends, that Rippin, the man you saw in the video, rushed past the two officers and punched Mr. Penn, the store owner, breaking his jaw, causing him to lose a tooth. Mr. Penn underwent several weeks of treatment, including having his mouth wired shut, his lawyer said at the time. Mr. Penn was later charged, with obstructing government operations. That's what they charged him with. Obstructing government operations. They had to do some research to find that charge. Okay. The suit says it was well known in the Decatur legal community that Decatur, Alabama officers frequently use these charges, commonly referred to as POP charges, which means pee off police charges without a legal basis. Penn was later charged with obstructing government operations. As I said, according to the lawsuit, the city did not investigate the incident, nor was Rippin even reprimanded. The 27-year-old officer was put on desk duty on June 8th, 2020, a day after the video footage of the punch was leaked to social media. So it took the public and it took people like you actually sharing the content before a level of justice was applied. Just the level. We're talking about the very first level here. At least get this guy off the street. All right. The chief of police then, let's put up his picture. His name is Nate Allen. Nate Allen was the chief of police. After this came out, Nate Allen retired without notice late January. Okay. So he has retired. He's no longer there. At the time, when asked about the excessive force, Allen acknowledged most cases with armed suspects end in death. However, he simply offered, I would much rather have a punch than an officer-involved shooting. Come back to me. Here's the problem here, Chief. The brother who owned the liquor store was never a suspect. He was never a suspect. Okay? He never threatened police officers with a gun. He never held a gun and said, I'm going to shoot anybody. He was putting the gun down. When he was punched because he told the cops he was going to file a complaint and that one officer lost his cool. Black male business owner arrested by deputies in Texas on his own property because he told them to leave. Here's the video.
And I ain't did nothing wrong.
That's fine. Let me say, what are you doing here checking?
What are you checking on? What are y'all
hey,
what
are talking to you? I already told you.
You told me what?
At this point,
over here. Over here. Over here, you're getting put in handcuffs. It's the last time I'm going to tell you. Listen to the sergeant. I'm not going to tell you again.
Like I say, dude, that's what you called. Yeah,
okay.
You're going
to run wrong.
Not me. He got in the turn lane.
Hey. Over here.
You ain't got to do all this. No reason for it.
I'm not doing nothing.
Aren't you?
No, I ain't. I'm standing on my porch. I left.
You.
I need an ambulance. I got a little rod in my spine, and you just said, I need an ambulance.
He's calling an ambulance. You don't need all this right now.
Calling an ambulance. Holy.
After he was slammed, there's another deputy that decided to do this. Here it is.
Sergeant, I need to lock up my business. I need to lock up my business. They say they can't hear me.
Just so you know, I'm personally going to come back and take you to jail. So remember,
I mean,
me.
You call me, I'll come down.
Okay.
I'll come say hi myself. That's fine.
Okay.
What's that supposed to mean, man?
It means I'm going to come take you to jail.
So, but what's that supposed to mean?
When the warrants get issued?
What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, you're not
listening.
But
I mean, I'm asking him a question, but he can't say that.
How
do we get
hearing and everything, okay?
I've got a problem.
You sure he needs a stretcher? He's standing just fine.
Put up the picture for a mass. Once again, this is an indisputable exclusive. A business owner in Texas was arrested after he requested deputies looking for another man to leave his auto lot. As he attempted to walk away on his own property, because you can do that when you're not under arrest, walks away. And then they place him under arrest. He's a 59-year-old black male, slammed into an SUV. He then requests an ambulance. Ector County Sheriff's Deputy Patrick Gillis taunts and threatens the business owner. I'm gonna take you to jail myself. It's a damn shame. Here's the man, Dennis Robertson, who stood on his porch as sheriff deputies asked him to step aside. Robertson says Ector County Sheriff deputies rushed to his used auto lot after they received a tip that a separate man was driving erratically. He had nothing to do with that. Robertson, who was not involved with the man's driving incident, requested that the deputies conduct their investigation off of his property. Let me pause him just for a moment. Keep that picture up. He is not only well within his rights to say that, he is demonstrating a constitutional dynamic. If the officers need to go upon private property in order to arrest an individual or to engage in investigation, they can get a warrant to do so. That's what judges are for. That's what they sign. And because of technology, you can get a damn warrant in 5 minutes. In the body cam, Deputy Gillis asked him to step off of his porch. When Robertson turns to go inside his office, he grabs him and handcuffs him. Now, some people will say, well, wait a minute. That was resisting. No, it wasn't. That was not resisting. He was not under arrest. You can walk away from the police. You can. Legally, they don't want you to do it. They get upset. They take it personal. They really get mad when you know the law and you try to remind them of it. Isn't it perverted that individuals who sign up to be law enforcement officers do not love the law? They get mad when you know it. That's insane.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? Alabama. When I hear Decatur, I say, see you later. Oh, imagine this Negro. He thinks he owns property. Ain't gonna tell me what to do. Oh, hell no. And that's the mentality, ladies and gentlemen. That's the mentality. Can you imagine? And again, probably just angry. Own a business. These black men own businesses. Probably has more money than their entire families, these cops. You know, there's a movie. There's an Eddie Murphy movie. Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence. The movie's called Life. And it's about two young black entrepreneurs. I would say timeline is around 1940s. 1930s, 1940s. It showcases the attitude that still exists today. A couple of black guys from New York coming down south to do some business. They get life in prison after they were set up for some cops that murdered another black man because he had more money than them. It's funny how the actions of another can affect somebody else. And once again, I understand the situation. I don't know where this happened. I'm going to have to listen to this again. I don't know where the liquor store thing happened. But I lived in Detroit, as you guys know, for a brief period of time. And yeah, liquor stores and corner stores get robbed all the time. Most of the time, especially if they're black owned, the store owners don't even bother calling the police. They know not to call the police because, for one, they won't show up for 24 to 48 hours later after the store's been robbed. And secondly, they know they're going to get cased. They're going to get profiled as the perp. They know it.
They don't even call the police up in Detroit. For a lot of reasons, cops just don't get called. Reasons you would think were entirely freaking ridiculous. Because they know what's going to happen. It's better to just take the loss, report it to your insurance, than to ever have the police come and deal with you. They know it. And that's sad, ladies and gentlemen. That is absolutely abhorrent. As a black man who's actually making it, doing it, living the American dream, oh, you better believe there is somebody to take you down a peg or two. Can't have these uppity Negroes around here acting like they have rights. Listen, nobody made you police officers. Just because you were too dumb to do anything else, or you were bullied in high school, whatever the case may be, that doesn't mean you take out your frustrations on other people. And I'm these people that do this kind of stuff, I'm scared for their families. A lot of these guys are wife beaters. Go home, rough day from work, slap around their wife. And even a fraction of those abuse their kids. You only hear two stories that come from police who are parents, from their children. Either they become cops or they become criminals. Because either they break down underneath the psychological abuse or they're completely indoctrinated. They can't, they're nothing unless they are doing what he's doing. Because they know the kid's probably not going to be any better than them anyways. And they don't want them living as under second-class citizens, which they oppress every day. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to watch these people. If it weren't for social media, social networks, we wouldn't be hearing these stories of stuff that's happening, that happened 100 years ago, still happening today.
Let me ask you something. When my wife's God. Father...
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V. Remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with third eye is king. So educate yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
That is good.
That is good.
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
True winner.
Gonna get the green light from Mom.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.